More than 70 years ago, when the Russian Tsars were enjoying their beautiful castles and fountains in St. Petersburg, now Leningrad, God reached down into the Russian province of Estonia on the Baltic Sea and saved an entire family through one Bible. Lord, use one of my sons to bring thy life-changing gospel to Russia and all of Europe. The father of this family cried. God answered that prayer, and an all-night prayer meeting in 1904, he laid hold of G.P. Rode and used him in wonderful way to find the Bible Christian Union. This faith mission was destined to serve not only Europe, but the United States and Canada, and to see thousands come to new life in Christ. First to be won to Christ through the mission's effort were Estonians, earnest soul winners. The capable Estonia believers became capable preachers. The Bible Christian Union had the joy of training Bible workers and evangelists and to seeing the growth of some 60 congregations in Estonia alone. Believers came from far and near for Bible conferences. Help channeled through the mission built many churches like this, one in the countryside. And this one, sitting over 1,000 people in Estonia's capital city of Tallinn. Because the established church throughout the Russian realm did not offer the scripture to its people, but superstition instead. Spiritual hunger was great. Men and women traveled miles in Eastern Europe to kneel before shrines, but found no satisfaction for their hearts. At such a time, God embodied His truth in man and sent them forth to preach Christ, not only in Estonia, but in White Russia and Ukraine. They ask not comfort, but opportunity, and would rather preach than eat. Some of them laid down their lives. This was a time of persecution, first from the established church. Believers' home and sometimes churches were set on fire. 10 years after the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, when communists had consolidated its power, it closed the only Bible school in Russia. Government restriction and persecution of Christians increased. It became unwise, even dangerous, to send help from abroad. Foreign missionary work in Soviet Union ground to a halt. But with the closing of one door, God had opened others. Just across the Russian border and the newly independent countries of Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Estonia, and Lithuania, missionaries were granted freedom for evangelistic work. Here after World War I, the hearts were as hungry as in Russia, and the opportunities were limited only by the strength of the workers and by the funds God's people provided. Believers walked long distances like these young women who carried their shoes so as not to wear them out. People willingly stood for hours at the meetings, outdoors as well as indoors. Not only the poor, but the rich heard and embraced the gospel. The old and the young, the Gentiles and the Jews. Precious Jews like Cecilia, on the right, came to faith in Christ just before the Nazi Holocaust snuffed out their lives. To help train national workers For these responsive fields, the Bible Christian Union sent some young men to Bible schools. The mission also conducted workers' conferences and even a short-term Bible school and a choir leader school. The latter two were organized by Andrew Rudick, who traveled widely among our churches and Russian-speaking and Ukrainian-speaking areas of Poland, using often a springless wagon. When World War II broke out, Russian military forces occupied and annexed Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Eastern Poland. Communist governments, which were set up after the war, exercised total control over all the rest of our harvest fields in Eastern Europe. Our workers, the great majority of them Eastern Europeans, found themselves behind the Iron Curtains. Prayer was the only way to sustain these workers, but God was faithful. He even used atheistic propaganda to sharpen our workers' faith, to make more effective their proclamation of God's truth. "We shall dump God in the garbage can," read an atheistic slogan. All faith suffered in Soviet Union's determination to eradicate the God of the Jews on the left, the God of the Muslims on the right, and God of Christians in the center. But God was on the throne, keeping the faith of His children and energizing the witness of His servants. Our former co-worker in communist-controlled Czechoslovakia said to a visitor, "Until the church is completed, I am asking God to lead me to people on the park benches who will receive my personal witness." Meanwhile, God was preparing an instrument that would leap all boundaries, Christian radio. And in 1967, miraculously, He brought our co-workers, Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Rudick, out of the Soviet Union on a permanent immigration visa and landed them in America. Mrs. Rudick, an American, had served the Lord in Poland and Russia for 40 years with only one furlough. Mr. Rudick is Ukrainian. For 23 years after the communist takeover, Mr. Rudick had pastored a Baptist church in USSR. His heart was burdened to help his fellow pastor there, some of whom did not even have their own Bibles. There was a limit on how many Russian scripture we could mail into Eastern Europe. At this time, a Christian leader asked Mr. Rudick the question that was in all our minds. How can Christians in North America be the most help to their brethren in USSR? Mr. Rudick wrote back, "Give pastor in Russia Bible training via radio." At this very time, Norman Olson, on the left, assistant to the president of Transworld Radio, who had not heard the question or the answer, approached Bible Christian Union with another question. "What can you do for a radio ministry to Russia?" 5 nights a week were offered, at a total airtime and production cost of $100 a night. Could we take this step of faith? Constrained of God, Arthur H. Salter, the general director, together with missions trustees, said yes. The next step was to gather a team. Mr. Rudick, second from left, with first-hand knowledge of pastor's need, was asked to head the team. Next to take up the challenge was Vasily Shakov, far left, who had been born in the Ukraine and who now pastors Russian-Ukrainian Baptist churches in New York and New Jersey. Then Daniel Yasko, second from right, joined the team. A preacher in White Russia, he had been separated from his wife and children for 25 years. Dow Brain, far right, a retired banking executive and recording buff, volunteered to help as part-time technician. W. Elwin Davis, newly appointed general director of a Bible Christian Union, writes scripts for Bible exposition. The work is demanding, finding materials, researching books, long hours of typing word for word the Russian scripts. Some lessons have to be translated from English into Russian. To do this after a busy day of preaching in his two churches, Mr. Shakov had to work through the night. Trans World Radio graciously offered its recording studio at Chatham, New Jersey. When the scripts are recorded in Russian, musical accompaniment selected, announcements added, and then a duplicate made, before the tapes are taken downstairs for shipping airmail to Monte Carlo. Here, on the Mediterranean sea coast between France and Italy, in the little principality of Monaco, Adolf Hitler's troop constructed a building from which to broadcast Nazi propaganda over Europe, but the war ended before Hitler could use it. Now, from this very hills, Trans World Radio's powerful half-million-watt transmitter is beaming our program 5 nights a week to the Soviet Union. High-gain curtain directional antennas are focused on Russia, and a new Russian antenna has added strength to the signal. The target of our Bible courses are the pastors and lay preachers in the Soviet Union, some of whom are gathered here at Moscow Conference. In the registered church are more than 5,000 pastors and 30,000 ordained lay preachers, plus an estimated equal number in the unregistered churches. The vast majority of these have been denied the privilege of formal Bible or theological training. Some who preach here in Moscow Baptist Church, for instance, have been allowed to study abroad, but this is a rare privilege. Christian books are also rare, as you notice in the picture, for no Bible study books are allowed to be printed or imported into the Soviet Union. Yet without formal training or Bible studies aids, Russian pastors must feed hungry-hearted believers like these who crowd the churches each Sunday. Many of them do not possess their own Bibles. Green Pastures, as our weeknight broadcasts are called in Russia, is an appropriate name for feeding shepherds who feed sheep like these all over European Russia. The courses include basic doctrines, teaching of Christ, Bible exposition, and apologetics, and even a sample sermon for the weekend preachers. God bless you all, the sign reads on the balcony between the choir loft and the congregation in Moscow. Yes, through your prayers and gifts which sustain Green Pastures, God wants to bless all the pastors and church members and even the unsaved who listen to our broadcast Monday through Friday. The choir of Moscow sings praise to Savior, who loved them and gave himself for their sins. The witness of Christians like these, plus broadcasts such as Green Pastures, are the only means of giving the gospel to people in Russia. By the thousand, they throng Moscow elaborate subway. They stand in long lines in Red Square to visit Lenin's tomb. They crowd Moscow showplace, department store, only to find that material things, hard as they are to obtain, do not really satisfy the heart. I am thrilled to think, as I sit at the microphone, says Vasily Shakov, of our Russian radio team, that by the miracle of radio my voice is being heard by an estimate audience of 1 million people in single night. Surely, this is an investment of far-reaching importance for individuals or Sunday school classes who help to underwrite the cost of the daily tapes at $2 a tape. Churches who believe that John 3:16 includes the Soviet Union have started to share in reaching the Russians. 40 churches each giving $50 a month, or 80 churches each giving $25 a month, can keep green pastures on the air every weeknight. Listen in as our broadcast in Russian goes over the air.
Дорогие радиослушатели, мир вам от Господа Иисуса Христа. Вы слушаете радиопередачи «Злачные пажити». Эти передачи предназначены для изучения Библии и христианского вероучения. Они передаются каждый вечер с понедельника по пятницу.
Requests have come to reproduce these courses in other languages of Eastern Europe. As God prospers and adds praying and giving partners, our pastor's Bible courses could be translated for interested listeners in Poland. For use in other people alike in Hungary and Czechoslovakia. And for workers in Romania and other Eastern European countries. As little as $25 a day could also rebroadcast these courses from Korea into Asiatic Russia. The duplicate tapes are ready and waiting. Only the prayers and the gifts are needed to beam Bible study courses to all of Siberia. Karl Marx, the dialectical materialism, proclaimed so vigorously throughout Russia, has filled the libraries and sought to control the minds of the people. Unless a young person is Komsomol, a member of a red-capped communist youth organization, whom you see here, he has virtually no chance of entering Moscow University or any other school of higher learning. From his superficial acquaintance with a reactionary church devoid of gospel, Lenin concluded that religion was the opiate of the people. Churches have been turned into museums, even into museums of atheism. Others have become swimming pools, as this one, or clubhouses, or granaries. Not a church bell tolls in all the Soviet Union. Little bells as well as big bells are silent. But God's power is greater than governmental might. Via the airwaves, he is beaming the milk and the meat of his word to those who are his witnesses in Eastern Europe. And their witness is bearing fruit. Your share is vital as you pray and give so that Russian pastor like this man on the right may have the food they need for their flocks. Perhaps you can serve as radio technician or fill the empty chair of the radio secretary. Sign up to receive the radio request bulletin to help send the word of God deep into Russia. Children have given their prized possessions, and widows have shared their social security checks. More powerful than all the missiles in the Soviet army is the gospel of Christ, the dynamite of God. Join us in sending the living gospel via the airwaves into hungry Russian hearts.